Blog Talk Radio.
At this hour, there are reports from around the world describing strange occurrences at literally thousands of cemeteries.
For years, we've heard predictions of a great event to come. Everything around us points us to that day. Earthquakes, wars, and famine, and we watch as millions die. Still everything will be alright, we say. As it was in days of Noah, just before the coming flood, the warnings we have heard yet not believed. But our unbelief won't stop the coming judgment hand of God, nor unseal the fate of those too blind to see. As the end of time approaches, people wonder what's ahead. The prophecies are spoken, we have all heard what they've said. There will come a generation that the midnight hour finds. On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind? On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind?
For the latest on these strange cemetery disturbances, we go live to our own John Richardson. John, this is very unusual. What's happening this morning?
Stephen, reports from cemeteries around the world, as well as the cemetery I'm right across from now, indicate a bizarre phenomenon taking place. The best way I can describe it is that specific grave sites, not all, but some, literally appear to have been opened from the inside out. Government officials, as well as private citizens who have been investigating these events, report finding no remains of any kind. One official, speaking off the record and wishing to remain anonymous, said, "It's as if no one was ever buried." Steve, I am a born-again Christian, and I may get fired for saying this on the air, but the only explanation I can give you is that we have always been taught that Jesus Christ would return and that one of the signs surrounding his coming would be a resurrection, if you will, of born-again Christians who had died. As a believer myself, I have no other explanation for these events. Back to you, Steve.
Well, I'm not a believer, John, but everyone is entitled to their opinion as to these events. John, hold it right there. I'm going to send it back to you while we check on another breaking story. Now, whether the two stories are related, I don't know. Reports are now pouring in worldwide concerning the disappearance now of living human beings. John, while we gather more information on this latest breaking story, we'll send it back to you. John? John? Are you there?
On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about a lot of different things. Really, it's all up to you. As Bill says, we're going to let it rip. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I know that last couple of weeks we kind of played some old-time radio shows. We had the storms that were sweeping across the country, and power was a problem in places, and phone service was a problem, and I had some people that had wanted to make comments about some of our previous shows, and I didn't want them to think that we, you know, would come in and offer that up for everyone to say what they had to say during a time when it was impossible for that to do it. But, you know, we've had a lot of interesting things happen you know, over the last few weeks. We had the storms that just, you know, I took a class when I was in law enforcement on, you know, to watch the skies for tornadoes and severe storms and things like that. And some of the things that I witnessed, I had only seen in video presentations before. And it was just, it was both scary and amazing at the same time. And, you know, everybody says, well, we've had storms before and all this. But, you know, if you listen to the weather experts and what they have to say, there's never been anything like this ever with that many storm, that storm cell holding together that long, traveling across this nation, and then the amount of tornadoes and the damage that was done at that time. This is something that's never happened before. And then we've had all the, you know, the earthquakes and what's going on in Japan and everything. It just seems like things are escalating, you know, more than they ever have before. And then we, you know, everyone's taken to the streets and sort of rejoicing because Osama bin Laden has been killed. And I don't know, it just, I can understand because it seems like fear has been so prominent. And what happened after 9/11, you know, this, you know, person that put this all together and, you know, was able to, for 10 years to stay hidden from what is supposed to be the most powerful nation in the world with the most advanced technology in the world. And I remember someone was making jokes about it, how in the world is all those short people over here, can you not find someone that stands head and shoulders above everybody else? It just, a lot of it, you know, didn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, we've come to a closure on that. And so I guess you can tell by the song that I picked here to start the show, you know, just wondering if all this has meaning, you know, as to what's going on. And I don't know. A part of me feels like that people are hearing but they're not hearing. People are seeing and they're not seeing. And we've become so complacent that it's just same old thing over and over again. But we were blessed, my family. My son and his wife and their children, they lost power, had some minor damage to a fence at their home. I don't think they've had any home damage. And my mom was blessed in how that God made a way for her to get through the tornadoes when she was on her way to Arkansas. But there's many, many people out there that this is not just numbers. This is not just statistics. These are names. These are faces. These are memories of people that they're going to have to look at and think the what-ifs that we all do when someone is gone that you love and you care about, that you no longer have a chance to go and say things that you wanted to say or share things from them, get information about your family because they were the elder possibly, and, you know, if you wanted to know things about your family history that they had told you 1,000 times, but it just didn't really seem that important to really listen. And so, you know, we've had a lot of loss in this nation at this time with what's went on with these tornadoes. And I think it would really be wrong for us with the Your Place show not to take a moment. And I think we should pray for these families. And I know that Blog Talk Mom does not like me to put her on the spot with things like this, especially when it's something that I'm the one that feels. But I really feel that she should be the one to really offer this prayer to the families of those that lost people during these storms. So if you don't mind doing that for us, Blog Talk Mama, I sure would appreciate it.
Okay, Bob Bill, am I on the air now?
Yes. You're on the air.
Okay, I appreciate your program and for the empathy that you feel towards the people that are going through the things that they're going through. So everyone that's listening, and let's join together. And we don't have to tell God what to do, but He did say, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened unto you. So, Almighty God, Creator of this world, Lord, you said that in your word that you have your way in the whirlwind. You are in control of all things. And we ask God now that you would have mercy and that you would move for each family that's hurting. Lord, we know in this life there's going to be those things that come our way. But we have eternal life with you, and that's what we want to put all of our focus upon, is the eternal life that we have. So, God, we ask that you redeem each and every hurt and pain that has happened in the last few weeks. We ask that you redeem it, that you take it and you work it in to make everybody involved more aware of their eternal soul. Lord, we pray that you would be that way maker. You made a way for me, dear God. You opened a channel that I could live. And, Lord, I know there's so many others that can give that testimony, but that does not mean that you were more mindful of me than you are of anyone else, for you love all of your creation. And, Lord, we ask that the anointing that destroys the yoke that Satan would put upon people to make them think that you may not love them or you have lost their number, so to speak. But, God, you have not, and you know, Lord, they're hurting, and you're able, and only you are able to turn this for good. And we give you the praise. Lord, these floods that are coming upon different areas, we ask, God, that you move in a miraculous way. In Jesus' name, Lord, the God that opened the Red Sea, that caused them to go through on dry land, you're the God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the written word, Lord. You can say, peace be still, the God that walked out upon the water, up on the water. And, Lord, when you spoke to the storm, it had to stop. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We praise you, Almighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. You know, the one thing that we have to all remember, it seems like life is one of those permanent things. You know, we lose family, we lose friends at different times, but somehow we get this feeling of being indestructible, even though our body starts to fail and we have to grab some reading glasses to read, and, you know, certain things we used to do, we couldn't do it anymore. And you know, the Bible tells us this life is but a vapor. And we've said it many times before that even if God's coming is not as soon as we think it is, if these are not signs that we should be looking for to be prepared that it's His coming, we have to all remember that we have no promise of tomorrow, none. You know, those people that were asleep in their beds when this storm came and the ones that didn't make it, and, you know, they had no way, you know, when the tornado sirens went off and, you know, the weather channels were saying, we think it's going to miss this big town here. And then, like, oh, no, we're getting word of destruction that's going into the city. You know, there's debris fields that's flying through there. You know, it's, you know, we think we can look at things, and with radar and technology they have now, they can pretty much show what streets need to be, you know, looking out and finding shelter. You know, find shelter now. But as we saw with these storms here, with all of our technology and all the things that we think we know, there still is no way to be prepared for the fierce fury of a tornado. And one of the things that I'd posted on Dr. Shields' Facebook page, I'd heard that their church had some damage, and I'm so sorry to hear that. But as much as we look at the power and the fury of these tornadoes, where it can take a blade of grass or a piece of straw and put it into a tree, you know, that's just unimaginable to think that it could propel something that would be considered that soft and put it into something like that, where huge trees were thrown through buildings, and part of the building was actually wrapped around it when it came out the other side. But when you want to measure power, and I was thinking, you know, it was funny that on the day of Pentecost there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind, but that power was the power that made life positive. It was a life-changing power to make us where we could be more than overcomers. It was to give us an assurance of that gift that we're not alone, that God's not just with us, but He's within us, that He'll lead and guide us into all truth if we're willing to say yes to you, Lord. If we're willing to say, what is it you want of me? If we're willing to get into His Word, if we're willing to pray, if we don't get all this format in our mind to say, this is right and this is wrong, where we go up here and we humbly go before God and ask the questions of, what do you want of me? You know, I'm truly, you are my God. I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. But as strong as these tornadoes were, and I've heard a lot of different people say different things about, you know, Satan has dominion over this world, and other people have said that because of sin that these things have all started into a cycle, and it's a clock that's ticking, and it's just getting worse and worse because of the sin on the world. And I know the Bible says it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust, and a lot of people look at this and say, well, they must have done something wrong because they were hit in a tornado and this group over here may not have been. And it's just not something that's that clear, black and white, to look at. But when you realize that the power of God puts the power of a tornado as being basically like a small breath of air being breathed out, it doesn't compare in any shape, form, or fashion as to what the power of God is. And as Blog Talk Mom said, that, you know, he was able to speak to the storm. And when he said, peace be still, it didn't just calm the storm. But if you've ever seen a big lake or a part of the ocean where the waves get churned and everything, it takes a long time after the storm passes for the water to calm down. But when God spoke, it all was still. And I really feel within my heart that we look at a lot of things with God, and God's wanting to say to everybody right now that he doesn't just want to heal, he doesn't just want to restore, he doesn't just want to save those that are lost, but he wants to make us whole. He wants to take what is missing and what we're looking for in this world to fulfill what we think we need inside. And he's wanting those things that satisfy just for a short time. He's wanted to take those away and instead give us something that's going to satisfy us for eternity. And I just feel so deep in my heart that people are just so blind to things that are going on that we get a form of thinking we have knowledge. And I had a friend who used to tell me, he said, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I used to think, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Of course, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. But the older I get, the more I understand what he was saying. Because we get a little knowledge, and all of a sudden we think we're an expert. Well, you know, I know about this. I can tell you. I've had some experience on this, and I read something on this. And then you find out later that the thing that you read may have been wrong, and so you were basing it on a conclusion that wasn't even true. Or you look at your life experience from a perception of where you were on that side of it, and as time goes on, you get more life experience and your perceptions change. You realize, wow, I really missed that. I've heard messages in churches before that I thought, well, that was a good message. Excuse me. And then I've heard the message years later preached again, and then I realized just how powerful the message was, not just a good message, but the power that was in that, that if you would take it and not just listen, but apply it to your life. And I didn't mean to rattle on quite so much here and everything, but I just, you know, the Bible talks about there's those that have ears and they don't hear. And, you know, I just, with everything that's in the press and in the news and the way things are twisted and turned, and especially here in the United States, everything seems to be about us. Everything is based on what's going on here. We really don't have a feel for what's going on anywhere else. And I remember when I got to go to Germany, everyone over there spoke English. It was amazing that they all speak the English language. But what used to really aggravate them was the fact that we expected them to speak English when we were in their country. And I understand that now. It has to do with our perception, like the whole world is ours to do with as we want, and everybody owes us. You know, everything should be bent or shaped to make things easier for us the way we want it to be. So anyway, I kind of apologize a little bit for rattling on there, but we do want to open it up. And I was talking to Blog Talk Mom about this Osama bin Laden thing, and she had something that she had, I think, read on one of the Jewish websites. And Blog Talk Mom, would you like to share that with us, or just share whatever it is that you have about what we're talking about or whatever?
Well, when I turned on the computer, by the way, I really appreciate everything you just said, and you're not just rattling on. That is very, very good, and I feel the presence of the Lord. But when I was on the computer, I saw his picture, and there was like an air of celebration or rejoicing, and I didn't feel that. I felt sad. I felt very sad, and I didn't really understand what exactly I was feeling. And so I went to AISH.com, which is a Jewish website, and they had an article that addressed this, and I would recommend anybody to go to that website and read it. But it talks about we can rejoice when evil falls. course, you know, who is to say who is evil? Anything that is contrary to God is evil. But anyway, to rejoice that evil has fallen is one thing, but to rejoice when anyone that God has created, to belittle them or to rejoice in that, especially if you're a Christian, is contrary to the Word of God. And but we do rejoice when we see that people are liberated. And one of the things that the rabbi mentioned, and part of it, I don't know exactly where in the Torah that he got this information, but the illustration is excellent. He said, as the children of Israel left Egypt and they were facing the Red Sea, it was a tremendous miracle that God was going to separate the Red Sea, and not only do that, but the Israelite nation would walk through it on dry ground. And they were totally saved from the approaching army of the Egyptians. And as the Egyptians came to the water, as they came in, the waters came together and drowned all of the Egyptians. And the rabbi said that the angels began to rejoice. And we do know that angels do rejoice over different things when a sinner repents. And, but anyway, in their story, they said that God said, "Do not rejoice." And the angel said, "But those are your enemies. They've been conquered." And God said, "No, I created them. I love them. They chose not to follow me. They chose what is happening to them." But then God moved upon Miriam to pick up the tambourine and begin to dance as the Israelites began to rejoice. Not that the Egyptians had been slain, but that they had been delivered, that they had been set free, and that God had made a way where there seemed to be no way. And that just seemed to, those stories that I read and listened to made me understand where I stand, how I'm to look at things as a Christian. Evil is always going to be there. And I am to rejoice at the deliverance that God has given me, but I'm never, God does not give me the right to hate another individual or to rejoice in their demise.
That's good. I know sometimes it seems like, and especially in large churches, you see a congregation or a group, it kind of gets divided into cliques. And it's funny when it's not your clique and something bad happens to someone, how it's, I don't know if it's a natural thing or what, but you can actually tell that they are happy that things went bad for the other person. It's like it's leveled the field or something, or makes them feel more secure. And I don't really understand why that is, but I've witnessed it all through my life to see that, especially the larger the crowd, it seems like the more cliques and more people you have. I think it has to do with people having dominant personalities. Everybody wants to be the dominant person, and so they end up, they run across two that neither one is going to move, bend, or break, and so they end up going their own way, starting their own little clique or something. It's an interesting concept how people do. Does anybody else, or Black Tom, did you have anything else you wanted to add about the storms? Or I know you had an incident you could share about where I think you were close to Memphis or West Memphis, right in the middle of all this.
Yes, that was very, very interesting. Another point, though, on what we're talking about the attitude of people, and if you look at the story and the life of David, and you look at Saul, and you see so many, such a contrast there. But the major thing that I've noticed lately, I'm studying that now, is that David didn't rejoice. He didn't rejoice when Saul was killed. In fact, the man that thought that he would get special credit for being involved in Saul's death, David had him, he was killed. And in other incidences, and I really believe that must be the personality of Satan, to rejoice, you know, at somebody's hurt or somebody's pain in a like a conquest. And the very opposite of that would to have empathy and to realize how it would be if we were in that situation, and to pray for mercy and grace. And I'm not saying that like I've got that totally conquered in my life, because I have situations, and that's why I think I can talk about it, because I've had to fight it so much and work on it myself, and the Lord is so merciful. And as we were going to the conference in Arkansas, we got to, about 75 miles from Memphis, leaving Mississippi, and I saw this very, very unusual cloud. I had never seen anything like that in my life, and then I saw the tornado, sort of the funnel cloud drop out, and the storm was so strong that the car was like I was losing control, and the rain was hitting it so hard that it seemed like it was going to break through the window. I called my pastor, and several prayed, and immediately, in front of me, it was like I was going through a tunnel, and the storm was still there, but I was passing through a tunnel until I got to the other side. And the town that we were that was in, the road was going through, they said was hit extremely hard. I don't know to how much devastation was there, but that's why my prayer, I think, is so we should be so careful not to boast about, well, God spared me, but then someone else he didn't spare. But that should be handled as delicately. I praise God that he let me live through that, and I want to live the rest of my life for him. But when my time does come, I want to be ready to meet him. And that's really what all that counts. Another story that the Jewish rabbi said, and I don't mean to take too much time, but he said there were two men. He said one of the men lived in a town that had nobody died. Nobody ever died. It was just they didn't even know what death was. And the man left that town, and he met another man that was on his way to a funeral. And he said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to a funeral. And he said, what's a funeral? And he said, well, this particular person died. And he says, what that mean? And he tried to explain to him the best he could just exactly what death meant, that it was the end of your life. And the man was just so interested. He said, well, y'all must not build houses or anything. And he said, well, why? Why would you say that? He said, well, I mean, clothes or houses or, I mean, just, you say you have 70 or 80 years. I mean, it seemed like all your time would be spent on that which is eternal. You know, why would you build anything here when you know you're going to have eternity to enjoy the things that you told me that were really important? And that just made such an impact on me, Wild Bill, because why do we spend all of our time and energy on that will never last? And at the expense of that will last for all eternity. And I want to, it's been a very strong wake-up call to me. I've been very aware of the presence of God for the last few days. The darkness that we had in BB were all the lights, all the city lights. I mean, there were no lights except maybe a flashlight. And the darkness, and remember that the Bible says there is an outer darkness forever and ever. No light forever. That seems to me much more horrible than a burning hell. I don't know how it all works together, but I sure don't want to go there. And the hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And I didn't mean to take that much time, but thank you for that.
No, you're fine. And I don't, as far as anyone even raised their hand, anyone that has any comments they'd like to talk on any of the topics or anything they'd like to share, just at any time push 1 on your phone. When you do that, Starla will see it on the board, and then she will bring you on and announce you by the end of your phone number there and let you know that you're on the air. So at any time, if you have anything. But I feel some of the same things you're talking about. It's so easy to say, like, well, I survived, so look at me. I'm good. God answered my prayer. And when there's all these other people, are you saying that God did not answer their prayer? I mean, that's why I mentioned, you know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But the biggest point that we can take from that is just how final it is when that happens. There is no more altar call for the people that the tornado came through and destroyed the families and their homes and everything. This is over. There is no, you know, things that they can do over. There is nothing that they can go and try to get redeemed in their life. There is no more time for anything as far as preparation. They're going to be placed in the scales and measured for what they've done from when they were at the age of accountability until they were taken in the storm. And it's just, I mean, you know, I've witnessed horrible car accidents, and I think, wow, you know, those people are just idiots, you know, some of the things that caused some of the accidents I've seen. And then I've had accidents that were just, you know, should have happened to where I was able to just barely make a way of escape out of it. And, you know, I thought, wow, thank the Lord for seeing me through. And we get this mindset about everything is all about us, except when it comes to accountability. It's all about us when we want something. It's all about us when we're hungry, when we're hot, when we're cold. You know, it's, but when there's an accountability about us, and I'm speaking mostly to myself, I may be the only one that's this way, but it seems like we don't want to take that one on our shoulders. That's not the one we want to carry. We don't want to take that burden of accountability. And I was reading about Peter in this last week, and man, you know, it's real easy to look at the things in Peter. I mean, he was so up and he'd be so down. I mean, he was the only one, you know, in the boat that, you know, Jesus, Lord, if that's you, you know, bid me come, and took off walking on the water. You know, we want to talk about how he got to look into the waves and stuff around him, and he started to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. And we want to talk about how that when the soldiers came to get Jesus, how, you know, he was quick to, in his clumsy fisherman's manner, to pull out whatever his dagger sword thing that he had and try to kill the soldier, and all he managed to do was cut off his ear. You know, and Jesus had to rebuke him and put it back on. And then, you know, one moment he has the insight that Jesus is the Lamb of God, you know, the Son of the living God, the Lord made flesh. And then the next thing, you know, he's like, you know, you can't, you know, you're not going to die. You can't be taken away. You know, we want you here. And, you know, then, you know, Jesus is telling him, you know, get behind me, Satan. You know, you're wanting the things of this world where you put value on life and the fellowship of the brethren more than the things of what has to be done to spread the gospel and to fulfill the ministry, fulfill what their calling was in their life. And, you know, then he went through the whole thing of where he denied Christ. And I can't imagine what it was like to have done it. But when you really think about it, he was one of, I don't think it says anything about maybe one other disciple kind of followed along behind Jesus to see even what was going on. You know, they all fled, you know, because they didn't know what was going to happen to themselves. You know, but he did go there, and yes, he did deny Christ. And then I think in one of the Gospels it talks about, as he did the last time, Jesus and Peter had eye contact with each other. And then the cock crowed. I can't even talk. You know, and so we look at all the things in Peter's life, and you can say, wow, you know, if there was ever a person that, you know, for the things that he did where, you know, he felt guilty or something like that, he would be someone that could just give up. But yet he never did give up. I never realized before until I was reading about Peter that he was married. He had a house. You know, he left all that he had to follow Jesus. And, you know, there was another person that he's like, well, I got to go, you know, bury the dead, then I go with you. And Jesus is like, let the dead bury the dead. You know, this is, he was calling people that were willing to stand in the gap and follow him above all else, to put everything second. I think that's so fitting as to what Blog Talk Mom was talking about there, about, you know, if we got such a limited amount of time, you know, and I've kind of hit on this before, we don't really have time to look at the political issues and conspiracy issues and all those things, and to be worried about, well, if I say something too loud, Big Brother's watching and they may come over here and track me down because of your place Blog Talk radio show and throw me in prison or feed me to hogs or feed me to lions or something like that. If that's where we put our thinking, then we're building up a spirit of fear. And God did not give anyone a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. You know, when you look at Peter, and I don't know why I'm sharing this with everybody, but when you look at Peter, you know, he denied Christ, but then he went before the same people later, and I've talked about this before, it said being full of the Holy Ghost, he had made it clear, boy, that Jesus that you crucified, you know, that was God. That was God robed in flesh, you know, and there's a way of salvation that's been made now. And he just stood up boldly before them as he hadn't before. And that's the thing to where we don't have to be fearful. What if they take our life? And Starley gets so mad at me when I'm talking about spiritual things, when I bring up things from movies and television and things. But back in 1977, I was looking for a payphone. And it was so funny. I noticed that the gate was open at the drive-in movie theater up here in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I pulled in around here, and I knew that at the front of the concession thing, if they had a payphone there, and I pulled up there. I was using this phone, and all of a sudden this movie came on. They showed it twice, I guess, and it was Star Wars. And there's a scene in there, and I think sometimes that the spirit of this world kind of has a grasp of things, but they don't really have a grasp of things if you really want to look at things. But the one, you know, they talk about things about the Force. I'm not going to go into all that. But this one teacher leader of the group, his student came and was going to kill him. And he's like, you know, you shouldn't have come back because now, you know, I'm the strong one. I'm the leader. And you don't stand a chance against me, you know, because I'm the one that's going to take over. And I thought it was interesting. They portrayed him as being like the big black evil guy, and the other was like just an innocent old man. And he said, you don't understand, because if you strike me down, I'm going to come back and be even stronger than you can imagine. And I thought, wow, you know, that is what happened with Satan. He really didn't get the big picture. And I don't think he understands that the more pressure that he applies to the saints of God in this world, the more the ones that are really wanting to stand in the gap like Peter did, we're going to feel that call to get closer to God. We're going to allow the things around us that are separating us from God to be blown away. And we're going to become even stronger because we know where our strength comes from. It doesn't come from things of this world. It doesn't come of a special diet. It doesn't come of a special vitamin or supplement or something like that. But it comes from the Almighty God. And that's what he puts in us. He doesn't start a work that he doesn't plan on finishing. And the only thing that can keep that from happening is if we look at it and say, I give up. I don't want a part of this anymore. I'm walking away. And that's the only power that can take us from the hand of God is our free will. And you would think that he wouldn't have given us that, but what is love if there's not free will involved? You know, the relationship thing here, we really don't grasp the love factor of what's going on here. But anyway, I hope someone got something out of that. And as I was reading about Peter, it just really, you know, hit me that, you know, it's so easy to judge things that you don't understand. And I've been really talking to people when we did the show on sin, you know, and I kind of was picking at everybody like, is it sin to eat fruit? And I was like, well, no, it's not a sin to eat fruit. Well, it was in the Garden of Eden. And we went on this whole thing, and someone just sent me an email, and I didn't even catch it because we were talking about Daniel. And I asked, is it a sin to disobey the laws of the land? And we had people come like, yes, it is a sin to disobey the laws of the land. Well, Daniel, the law of the land before him was that he couldn't pray or bow down to anything, I think, except for the king. And he broke the law and was still praying to his God three times a day right there in an open window. And there again, it has to do with perception, but I don't want it to be to where we've got this set of scales where we're trying to balance things out to what seems right to us versus what is right with God. And the only way to know that is to seek him, is to ask him. You know, it's not to look at other people. It's not to follow other people. It's to go and speak to God personally. And I want to share one other thing with you here. I had a thing happen. I was fleecing God about something. I really felt kind of funny about it. And the first time, I don't know if I did it. Well, I did. I put two things together, and I had a pastor in Arkansas that was sharing with me that, and also another one here in Tennessee, that you can take things and put it amiss in something like that, and God's not going to honor it. So we kind of came up with a thing to do it different to where both Starla and I was both involved. And so it was, to me, it was just traumatic because it went beyond what I was expecting to happen, and something happened that same night to let me know that an insurance. And then I went ahead and I shared with this other brother that wasn't involved in it at all what was going on, and I asked him to pray for me. And he told me that he said that the Lord had spoke to him and let him know what it was, and that he was pleased that I had came to the understanding that I did, because God had showed him that in my situation I needed to stay exactly with where I was doing and what I was at. And I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty good. But then that same night, I'm confronted with something that was almost impossible not to want to take personal. But God knew all these things were going to happen. And the point I'm trying to make is when you start doing things on a spiritual level instead of a carnal level, God will put things in place. He'll build enough foundation around you, enough of a wall around you to put enough seed in your mind to, you know, I still can't understand what all happened on Monday, but I'm aware that there's more spiritual implication to it than what I wanted to give credit for, because it would be real easy just to get my feelings hurt. It's like, why? You know, it's like someone said, I'm going to take my bong glove and go home, you know, something like that. And I realized it wasn't by chance, but at that prayer meeting, I've been really praying for the Lord to open up a way for me to be able to be in church. And I've told Starlin, I think I mentioned on this show, that I've given consideration to just telling my company, if they can't let me off to where I can go to church, I'm giving them 2 weeks' notice. And, you know, Starlin and I was talking about, she goes, well, you need to find something else first. I'm like, well, there's not much faith in it if I go find another job first, you know, when I'm saying I'm asking God to help me in this situation. But anyway, when we left, you know, we were trying to decide where we were going to get something to eat, and I don't ever eat at Subway because that's what I pretty much lived on out there on the road. And but I said, well, I'll stop at Subway. It was right there on the way home, and I've never been in that one. And so we went in there, and there was a man. He was really friendly, and he was talking to us, and we were talking to him, and he was talking about being a truck driver, and I told him I drove a truck, and I noticed he had a uniform shirt on. And to make a long story short, he works 5 days a week and off on weekends, and he told me that they're hiring where he works at. Now, I don't know where that's going to go, but I did get online and fill out the application today. But I don't think it's by chance when you're living for God that situations like that happen. I don't think God is ever surprised or ever caught off guard by anything that ever happens to us. And I do believe that with all my heart that what's going on right now is a sign to all of us to wake up and seek God and change our evil ways, flee from the darkness and go to the light, because he is going to be coming very, very soon. This world has gotten so, I don't care what you say about past, the number of abortions that's going on in this world right now is just, the number just is staggering. We got this whole issue of men and men getting married and you know, adopting children and things, and women getting married and calling it holy matrimony. And, you know, you don't have a right to stand against that, because all of a sudden, you know, you're being, you know, some kind of criminal or something, because you're conspiring against these people's rights to their freedom of speech and freedom to the way they want to live. And I've never seen in my life anything like that, to where it's not just freedom of religion anymore, but it seems like they're wanting to make it freedom from religion. And it's like the church has a voice on everything else except that. You know, I mean, you can listen to channels talk about politics. You can listen to them talk about, you know, 9/11, you can hear them talk about conspiracies on birth certificates and things, but heaven forbid, you know, you can turn on the radio station anymore and hear people call sin, sin, and tell people that no sin is going to enter in, that you got to repent or you're going to go to hell. You don't hear that. I mean, I scan the radio a lot because I spend a lot of time in a truck, and I'm telling you, I can't remember the last time I heard a message on hell from one of these public radio shows, and they're all denominations. Yeah, and it's just, it's one of those things, it's like, you know, and I've talked to people, and they're like, well, you know, people just won't respond to that anymore. Well, it's kind of hard to tell if we don't do it. I mean, I may be looking at this wrong. So do you have an opinion on any of that, Blog Talk Mom? I don't think anybody else has raised their hand on anything. They're just like, man, this guy's on a tangent tonight. He's just going to talk. He ain't even going to take a breath.
Oh, that's excellent, everything that you said. And I think I mentioned to you earlier this week, there's a book called Hell's Best Kept Secret. I really recommend anybody getting that book, and actually go online, and you can listen to it free by the author, and I cannot recall his name at this point, Ray Comfort. And he just brings it out so beautifully that he uses an illustration about two men on a plane, and or there was a two different situations, but they told this man that he needed to put on a parachute, and they told him if he would put on a parachute that he would be happier and he would be just more comfortable and it would just be the thing to do. All of his problems would be over. And that's what we do, you know, when we tell people come to God and everything's going to be great and all your bills going to be paid. And, you know, God is a blesser for sure. Anyway, the man puts on the parachute and he's got it. After a while, he can't lean back and it's just very, very uncomfortable. And he's not happy with it at all. And he looks out and the rest of the people on the plane are laughing at him. And after a while, he takes it off and he throws it in the floor. And he doesn't even like the man anymore that told him about the parachute. He wants to get as far away from him. He's just really got an attitude. And then Mr. Comfort goes on to say that if you go to him, though, and the pilot comes across the loudspeaker and says, we've just lost the back part of our plane, and we'd probably just have a few, maybe 30 minutes that we can stay 250 miles or however high a plane is, and then we're going to hit the ground. And if you tell the man, he was real dramatic. He said the man's watching a video and he's not interested, and he tries to get his attention. He's still not interested, and he says, well, I would like to tell you this, that if you don't put this parachute on, that when the plane does crash, that you're going to splat. You know, you're just going to go down, you know, and that all of a sudden the guy gets to listen. And he says, you mean that the plane is going down? He says, yeah, it's for sure going down. And if I don't have on that parachute, then when it goes down, that I'm going to hit the ground splat. You know, he says, yeah, that's what it is. So he puts the parachute on, and it's still a while, and he's very uncomfortable, and he, you know, there's nothing making him any better off as far as he can see, but he knows that if he doesn't have on that parachute, that when the plane goes down, he's going to hit the ground and he's going to splat. You know, they brings that out. And if we tell people, this world is coming to an end, you know, it may come to an end for you or me today. We don't know if we aren't promised tomorrow. It's going to come to an end. And we're seeing all this devastation. It was not hard at all everywhere I went today to talk to anybody about the Lord. I mean, it really has got people's attention. And if you let them know, this is the parachute, you know, being born again, being baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38, having to repent, like you said a while ago, be accountable, take responsibility for your own sin, and be filled with the Spirit of God, then that's your parachute. That just keeps you from whatever time it comes to the end, you're going to be able to make it. And then he went on to say that this stewardess trying to comfort everybody comes in with hot coffee, and she trips, and she spills the coffee all over the guy. And he doesn't jump up and say, well, if I hadn't had on this parachute, you know, this wouldn't have happened, or blah, blah. He didn't blame the parachute. And if we tell people the wrong way, then they're going to think that everything that goes wrong, we've lied to them. You know, you told me nothing that would ever go wrong. You know, I went home and I had a fight with my spouse or something. No, we're going to have the same battles, but the difference is we got on the parachute. You know, whatever happens, we're ready to meet the Lord at the end of time. I thought that was such an excellent, excellent illustration.
That's good. Because there is a lot of things in life that's always going to be uncomfortable for us. Change is always uncomfortable. You know, different people have different strengths and weaknesses as to what makes them uncomfortable and puts them out of their comfort zone. I guess it's the same thing said twice, isn't it? But anyway, it's we're all different and unique in that as to what our comfort level is. But there's always going to come something that's going to put us into an area where we're less ill at ease. And the thing is, are we prepared or are we not? And I think we have somebody that's got a comment or question there, Starla.
Yes, I believe it's Joy Bells. I hear those joy bells ringing. I really have enjoyed this show tonight a lot. I think it's interesting how on the same page you and Blog Talk Mom are, especially considering it seems like I'm hearing it
from a lot of different directions similar kinds of thoughts, like there's kind of an awakening going on. But on that subject that you just said, I believe that that's the reason that Jesus suffered, that he went through all the things that he went through. I think that that can be a symbol to us that it doesn't, it's not necessarily judgment whenever something happens to you or you're going through pain, that even he did, and he was perfect in every way, that that is just part of, I think I've still got it on speakerphone, do I? I hope I'm not making some loud noise. There, is that better?
That sounds fine.
Okay. And I don't really know who ever came up with the phrase Good Friday. It was probably the silly Catholics, but somebody said, sorry, the reason it's called Good Friday, that even though such horrible things happen, such painful, traumatic things happen, still by his stripes we were healed, and the miracle of him being risen from the dead and recognized as the Messiah and all of those things, it took Friday to get to Easter Sunday. Again, I feel like I'm giving a shout out to the Catholics, but y'all know what I mean. The story is still the same without those phrases. You have to go through that storm. You have to go through some pain. Maybe not everybody. I really do still. There's a huge part of me that's hoping that there's an easier way to learn and grow. But for me, it seems like no. And that's a trap to fall into, thinking that you're only doing well or you're only on the right path when you're feeling all cheery and happy. Although you do always have that joy. You do still have that joy down inside. Blog Talk Mom and I were talking about that even just today, that there is a, because what did you say just a minute ago, Mama, that made me think about, that's good to get good prompt, what did you say just a minute ago, about that we, it's not, oh, about the parachute, about the guy, not, he didn't say, well, it's because I've got this parachute. Things happen to you anyway.
Right.
Whether you think you're taking the shortcut or you think that you're not looking at, you're, you know, you're going to give yourself the easy way out, you're still going to have pain. But if you try to look at it from a spiritual point of view and grow, it gives things a kind of purpose, and you are looking at that eternal side of things, and that in and of itself is a huge comfort and makes it easier to deal with whatever you're dealing with.
Yeah, it makes a difference of what we put our values in.
Like Corrie Ten Boom in the Holocaust. She had just as much Holocaust as the others. Her sister died. Horrible things happened to her just like everybody else, but that carried her through and gave it a purpose and gave it a meaning and gave her that shining, wonderful love that she had through it all.
That's good. The Jewish people bring that out. Purpose will bring you through. It will bring you through. It changes everything. And so
doesn't mean you're not going to have a problem. Yeah, you still are. Either way, you're not going to avoid the problem by not living for God, and you're not going to avoid the problem by living for God.
But when you get down, you're going to have the parachute.
That's the important thing.
I love the way you're bringing out Christ, too, because sometimes we can talk around the whole thing, and Richie was bringing it out, loving Wild Bill a while ago. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus Christ. And he was our perfect example. Like you said, by his stripes, we were healed. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He is acquainted with grief, a high priest, and is moved with the very feeling of our infirmity. So that's very good.
We are so good.
Yeah, I don't think very many people, of course, a lot of people didn't have power. And I couldn't even tell if the show even actually broadcast. I meant to look today. And see, I played one of the classic radio shows. And I think I meant to play one. I was going to play the one that they actually played live, that people thought it was actually happening, where there was a space invasion or something back in the 50s. And I think I played something different. But anyway.
No, that's what it was. It was about the aliens coming. Unless there's more than one that is that.
Yeah, there's one called War of the Worlds. There's one called The Day the Earth Stood Still, and I think I played The Day the Earth Stood Still, and I think the one that one
caused
that shook everybody, and it was all calling the police station, was the War of the Worlds, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So
you're right about that.
But I was awful young back when that happened. I think I was probably, like, not born. So
I was a negative 8 years, so.
Yeah. I'm getting old enough now, I can't say that about many things. Did anybody else have any comments they want to make about?
Yeah, and the week before that, you had your Samson and Delilah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. They were the real actors, too. Did you hear the guy thanking them for being on there? And they were they came and did the voices. That was cute.
Well, it tickles me. It's a Luxe soap. You can wash your undies with it. You can wash your face and your fine linens and your stockings. And I'm like, wow, boy, that goes back. Most people don't even have a clue what they're talking about on some of that.
I'll tell you one thing.
You get a run and throw them away.
Samson made you think that he was the first stereotypical jock, that he kept falling for whatever she said. And he's big and strong, but he's not real bright. Sorry to pick on
you,
Samson.
If you really read the story, he sort of wasn't. It was, you know, he tried to bend the rules and his vow to fit what he wanted. And it for him, it didn't work, just like it won't for us either. God doesn't forget the things that we promise. And there is that accountability, you know, for those things as well as the things that's in the Word. So it's interesting.
Well,
did you have anything else there, Joy Bells?
No, but I think I heard Josie in there.
No, I was going to use the analogy that when the church lays its head in the lap of the world, that's pretty stupid, too. You know, our power will be diminished and we will be blinded. There's a great comparison there to the church, you know, falling into a trap like that.
We all fall into our own lust of whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. It can be desires for fame, for wealth, for, you know, to be known. You know, I used to tell people one of my biggest fears in life was to be a failure. And I feel like so many times I'm right on the verge of that. So I guess that's why I'm so fearful. But you know, we all have things that we have that's important. A lot of times, you know, like with Granny Powell, we judged her that money was sort of her God, that she put importance on that. But then it finally dawned on me after she died that she just didn't want to see us suffer through the things that she suffered, and she didn't want to suffer like that ever again either. You know, the things, her perception of things that she had endured, you know, it makes no sense. I don't have to go out there and eat, catch rabbits or shoot rabbits to have my meals. And, you know, she was quick to say that she didn't like Republicans because whenever they were president, when she was a kid, she had to eat a lot of rabbits. You know, I couldn't make the connection what she was talking about. So, because I've never had to do that. It's not something that I can, I have no experience or no frame of reference that I can go back to.
That's interesting you talked about fear. That's, you know, because Josie has just been through a crash course on fear and dealing with fear. And I think you just named several things we can be afraid of, and that's one of the main things that we need to look at and recognize is that we have fear. And I guess we all know that the joy is a good antidote for fear.
You're a fool of yourself. I can't believe that this show is almost over, down to 1 minute.
Oh, better be brilliant. Better close this up with a one moment of brilliance.
Well, anybody that's got a comment they want to make, now's the time to do it. I was trying to look in the chat room here, and I didn't see anybody on there saying anything. So,
speak now or forever hold your peace, right?
That's it.
At least for a week.
A little lady just screamed in my ear, 90 seconds, so... I do want to thank everyone that listens to this show and the people that post the comments. And as I said many times, I appreciate the people who disagree with me more possibly than the ones that people that agree with what I have to say, because I say it all the time, it's not about being right. You know, we can all learn from each other because all of us have experiences that none of the others have had. And I've been so blessed in my life to have been associated with some of the greatest ministers that's ever walked the face of this earth. And, you know, I was so sad to hear about the damage to the church there in Beebe, because Dr. Shield probably is at the top of that list of people that I respect his ministry and what he stands for and his walk with God. I mean, you know, you can say a lot of things. You may not like the way he talks. You may think he's a little blunt or something like that. you may feel like he's a little judgmental when he's preaching something that's hitting you right between the eyes, but you can't stand up and say he didn't walk what he says. And there's not a lot of people that you can say that about. And so, and Miles' pastor, she's a woman of rare value as to what she is to that community and to everyone that I've seen that she's come in contact with. Our family, I can't tell you what a blessing she's been to us. And then I have Brother Henson in Arkansas and Brother Lee and my pastor up here. And, I think everyone needs to find people that are dedicated to serving God when you're trying to find your own way to give you counsel. But there again, the bottom line is you got to go straight to God and get into his word and ask him and seek him. And that's where the strength to the root is going to come in your life. Not based off something someone else tells you, but when it becomes your personal experience between you and your God. Well, the show is on but not streaming, so we're going to call it a night. Thank you again, everyone, for calling. We'll be back with you next week. You can go to the Facebook page, anyone that has any ideas for future shows, or you can contact us by email, either one. Thank you all again for being with us. We'll be back next week. Have a good night. Thank you.